It's a lovely privilege to be up here again to do a bit of a sermon on the teachings of the I Am statements of the Lord Jesus. So this is the beginning of that series, and we're looking at the I Am statements of Jesus referring to him, I am the bread of life. In the Gospels, the Lord Jesus says, I am. This statement is a very important statement. And it refers to Moses and the burning bush. And it has additional meanings. I believe sometimes us as Christians and modern Christianity, we overlook the statement and forget the true meaning. Jews remember this because of the story of Moses and the burning bush and the appearance of the living God to him. Moses was a lowly shepherd, stood in front of the burning bush, unsure why this bush was burning, yet it was still living. A person's name has meaning and belonging. There are numerous reasons people are named. For example, the name could give them identity, belonging to a certain tribe or family. The name could be due to their family's job or position in the community. The name could be given because of an important act that the person has done or to be recognized throughout their lives. The aim of the sermon is, what is the importance of the I Am statements? What does that mean to me and what should I do? Firstly, God appeared to Moses in the burning bush and told him to go to Egypt and to lead the Israelites out of slavery. In response, Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, God of your fathers has sent me, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I tell them? Exodus 3:13. Exodus 3:14 and 15 goes on as God explains to Moses, and God tells Moses, as God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name you shall call me from generation to generation. The phrase translated, I am who I am, is Hebrew, AI Asher AI. The word AI is the first person common singular of the verb to be. It would be used in any normal situations. So, I am watching the children. I am walking to the car. I am his father. However, when used as a standalone description, I am is an ultimate statement of self-sufficiency, self-existence, and immediate presence. God's existence is not contingent upon anyone else. His plans are not contingent upon any circumstances. His promises that he will be what he will be. That is, he will be the eternal, constant God. He stands ever-present and unchangeable, completely sufficient in himself to do what he wills to do and to accomplish what he wills to accomplish. When God identified himself as I am who I am, he stated that no matter when or where he is, this is Sorry, and this is similar to the New Testament expression in Revelation. I am the Alpha and the Omega in Revelation 1:8. Says the Lord God, who is, who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. This is true of him for all time, but would have been especially appropriate for the message in Moses to Moses to a people in slavery and who could see no way out. I am was promising to free them and that they could count on him. Like Moses and the Israelites relied on I am, we as Christians can rely on him and what he says. Moses' first encounter with God was through a burning bush. And the experiencing the living God. The Lord Jesus was a fulfillment of I am. He is I am. In this teaching series, we'll be looking at the seven statements of I am statements of the Lord Jesus. The first one we're looking at is that I am the bread of life. We've read John 6 and when you read the whole chapter, we see that the Lord Jesus feeds the 5,000s, and everyone sees this miracle. They're amazed and they follow in search for Jesus to find him on the other side of the lake. We can see in verse 26. Jesus answers them, "Verily I truly tell you, you are looking for me. Not because what you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Historically, bread is an important part of every culture. Bread is one of the oldest foods that doesn't require foraging or hunting. It has been an essential part of our history and formed early human societies. It comes in different forms, shapes, sizes, but the concept remains the same. It is an important food source to help people live and survive. And not only that, it has been an integral part of our meals and the times we share together with one another. In verse 26, the Lord Jesus says, they are only there because they've had their fill. It makes me think that the bread that must have been made by the Lord must have been the best tasting bread that they've came across. It was made by the creator of the heaven and earth. It must have been perfect in every way and the people wanted it more. The Lord Jesus highlights a few problems with earthly bread as well. It spoils. Unlike the shop-bought bread back in the day, bread would go hard or moldy within a few days and a new loaf would need to be made. People often refer to the God-shaped hole in our lives, and we can try to fill our lives with other things and focus on other things, but we'll constantly need to keep that hole need to be filled. Secondly, the spoil. Things spoil, things go wrong. We need to consistently work at it and make things right. But this is not like the bread of life that the Lord Jesus was offering. We can find eternal life in him. A bread that would consistently endure forever and consistently fulfill you. The Lord Jesus, we read about in verse 35, 41 and 51, is that bread of life. I've made bread before, and I don't know if there's any other bakers in the room, but we know that making bread is a constant labor of love. It takes time and effort. But back in the day, unlike the modern times, people couldn't just walk into the store and get the flour and the yeast and make the bread. However, in the biblical times, the process was more arduous and challenging. It required people gathering the wheat and the grain. It required the grain needing to be grinded and kneaded. And not like we get the fast-acting yeast in the shops there. They had to have the previous dough from the previous batch kept to the side and added to give them leaven. So this whole process would take time. And then not only that, you'd have to bake it on either hot coals or stones or ovens that they had. The Lord Jesus reminds the people that they are willing to work for the bread that goes old and rotten, yet the bread of life they can receive through belief. This is not something that we can work for. This is not something that you can work at time after time. This is something that is given from the Father in verse 29. So if you're sat here today thinking that you're a good person and that you can work your way into heaven, we can't. It's only through belief that we can receive the bread of life. When reading verse 30 to 31, we can see that the people have forgotten the miracles that came from the Father. So they ask, what sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestor ate the manna in the wilderness, and as it was written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. And Jesus responds to them in verse 32 to 33. Verily, truly, I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gave you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. The people had forgotten the things God had done for them and were not giving the respect to God that he deserved. The Israelites were sometimes a stubborn and rebellious people. Jesus reminds them that they had disregarded the countless miracles and wonders that the Lord had done for them. He saved them from slavery in Egypt and fed them as they wandered the desert with manna from heaven. Manna did not come from Moses, but he was the messenger from God. You and I can easily forget and do the same as the Israelites. Let us not forget the countless things God has done in our lives to be here. He saved us from slavery of sin and death. He has blessed us in every way. Furthermore, he has blessed us so much more that we have access to his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Manna from heaven is also a picture of what was to come when Jesus came. He is that bread from heaven, that he will help us and sustain us while we wander this wilderness of this world until we get into heaven, our promised lands. Looking at verses 34 to 40, in what sense is our Lord the bread of life? He suggests that there was in him that which is properly received would communicate eternal life. And we see that in verses 51 to 53. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Jesus said to them, verily, truly, I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you will have no life in you. He points to his suffering and death, that which were that to derive our lives. It is through his death and suffering we have life. Verses 53 to 56. Jesus said to them, "Verily, truly, I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you will have no life. Whoever eats his flesh and drinks his blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. For my flesh is the real food, and my blood is the real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in them." This is the picture of the Holy Communion, giving all believers a symbol of the work of the cross, being a constant reminder of what the Lord Jesus did for all of us on that cross. For him to be used as a bread, so three, for him to be used, for him to be to us the bread of life depends on two things: that we receive the full pardon of our sins, and the second part, that we have a meetness for glory by sanctification of our souls. So this reminded me of the Romans reading, and Romans 3:21-25. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness, because it is the forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. Who are those who derive benefits from him? Not all, but only those who come in faith. Before we can do this, we must have a sense of our need of him. We must recognize our shortcomings and our need for the Lord Jesus in our lives. Those will not come to him who fail to see his perfection, believe in his atonement, and fear and hear his invitation. To come to faith, we need to recognize who the Lord Jesus is. God in the flesh, the fulfillment of the word. There are many religions out there that believe that Jesus believe in Jesus, but fail to see his perfect atonement. And because of this, it's an addition, they add additional aspects to their salvation. The famous writer C.S. Lewis wrote that the Lord Jesus can only be one of three persons: liar, lunatic, or Lord. He can only be one of these three persons, and I know who him to be to me, Lord. Who is he to you? Who have you heard? Have you heard his invitation and accepted it? There must be a moral effort or labor. We must evidently turn our backs on our love for sin. This can only be done by putting our focus on the Lord and his ways. The labor is not what's going to save you, but the faith and focus on the Lord Jesus will. We must come to him by a prescribed means: meditation on his word, and importance of prayer. This is important as it helps us to keep our focus and our trust in him, especially when times are getting tough. What is the benefit of which he speaks, and the believer shall never hunger or thirst. So there is benefits when we believe in the bread of life. It says, first of all, our conscience of sin, or our being going after sin, will be no more, nor will have anxiously striving for holiness, because we'll desire that through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus reminds us of this. He has offered us in verse 35. Then Jesus said, I declare, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never thirst. In the Lord, he will sustain and give us a life that we've not known before. The bread of life will sustain us through our lives. We will not thirst and hunger for these things the world, hunger for these things of the world no more, but after the will of God. We read about the beautiful relationship. Furthermore, we read about the beautiful relationship between the Son and the Father, him wanting to do the will of his Father, and we have access through the Father, through the Son. The closing points of the sermon will be is that the Lord Jesus is the bread of life, and we have access to him through faith. Let us take hold of that and hold of that access to a life of more abundance. He will be able to sustain us and keep us from hungering and thirsting for things, from not hungering and thirsting of things of this world no more, but for him and his ways. Amen.